The following is a presentation of the High Spot Podcast. Making their way to the ring, talking about the world of professional wrestling, the team of Jeff Martin and the trendsetter, Brian Perga, the Jersey Wrecking Crew.
What is going on, guys? I am Jeff Martin, and you're listening to High Spot Podcast on BodySlam.net. I am solo today, going to try to carry the show like the Trendsetter has done the last few weeks when I've been gone. But he's got a good reason, though. It is Thanksgiving week, and he's getting an early start, getting that turkey, the stuffing, the cranberry sauce, and the pumpkin pie, just to make sure that this Thanksgiving 2019 is great for the crew. And, you know, we wish you guys all a very happy Thanksgiving as well. So the Trendsetter will be back next week, and we'll talk Survivor Series. We'll talk NXT TakeOver. We'll recap that for you. But this week, we've got a great show. Hugo Savinovich is here, former WWE Spanish commentator, AEW narrator, and, of course, now he does work for Lucha Libre AAA. So looking forward to talking to him in just a few minutes. And, of course, make sure you follow us on all our social media at High Spot Podcast. Also, visit the website, highspotpodcast.com. Go to YouTube, click like, hit that notification bell, and watch all our video interviews right there. Just go to High Spot Podcast and subscribe. We're also available on BodySlam.net and also on all podcast platforms. Yes, we're all on all podcast platforms, on Spreaker, on TuneIn, on Apple Podcasts. So definitely, you know, leave a rating, leave a review. We want to hear from you, the crew. So definitely let us know what you think of the show. Also on iHeart Radio as well. So definitely you can always catch the High Spot Podcast. And this is a perfect weekend because you got a long weekend coming up. You want to catch up on some of the episodes that we've had recently here. And I promise you guys, you will not regret it. So this weekend, we're eating the turkey and have some pumpkin pie. Make sure you have a little bit of High Spot Podcast on the side. So definitely... you know, it's a crazy time now. We're into the holiday season, and Thanksgiving is upon us. So we want to wish you all again a great Thanksgiving holiday, and everyone, please be safe. But you know, with everything going on here, you know, NXT picks up a big win in the ratings against AEW for the first time since they've gone head to head. So that's something you want to take a look at. But I think the true winners are the fans, the wrestling fans, because they just honestly get great wrestling every Wednesday night. Whether you want to flip to AEW first, then go to NXT, or vice versa, whatever you do, the real winner is the wrestling fan. But again, NXT picks up the win, won every category except the 18 to 49, and didn't miss by much. They did not miss by much, but still, though, at the end of the day, NXT gets the win over AEW. We'll see what happens in the near future. But guys, we're getting spoiled on Wednesday nights. So that is some great wrestling that you're watching. And I think we're all lucky. We're all lucky in this time because competition makes everything much better. If you saw Wednesday night, the competition was definitely revved up. Now, CM Punk made his first full appearance on WWE backstage. And I think one of the things that you look at is that with CM Punk, it's not more if, but when. You can tell that he's happy. You can tell that, you know, he's going to take this job seriously. And only the future, you know, can tell what he's going to do. And does he know what he wants to do now? I believe what he says. I believe that something will eventually trigger him to want to get back in the ring. But now everyone's wondering, you know, if. Well, it's going to be when. And when he does it, listen, I'm not a mind reader. His body language looks better. If you would have told me when he left WWE that he'd be back anytime soon or anywhere, you know, anywhere ever again, I wouldn't have believed you. So sometimes it's just a little surreal watching him, and you think that AEW was a much better fit for him. But at the end of the day, you know, he's back on WWE programming, and you know, it's surreal. It's a sight to see. Now, whether he brings back viewers to backstage, We don't know. That's one of the reasons he's there. So will the ratings or will the viewership increase? We'll have to see. But he's only going to be there, you know, just a few times. He's a contributor. And again, we will see what happens. But, you know, getting the vibe from Punk, you know, I kind of feel that it's more like a when, not if, with CM Punk when he decides to get back into the ring. Now, is it WrestleMania 36? You got a little bit of a setup there with Seth Rollins or maybe an AJ Styles if you want to see that. But I think it's closer that we'll see CM Punk back in a ring. And that's basically everything we wanted to see ever since he left the company. And now we go to Survivor Series, and, you know, we have a great interview with Hugo coming up that we kind of decided to, this time, we'll put our predictions on Instagram and on Twitter, and we'll let you guys view that, because the interview with Hugo is so freaking good that we want to get you guys in it right away. So, you know, that's what we'll do. And this week's interview is brought to you by Collar and Elbow. It is an apparel brand by Al Snow. And right now, for Black Friday, you got great deals going on there on all winter and clearance stuff. Definitely want to go to collarandelbowbrand.com and save 10% on your purchase as well by hitting High Spot Podcast, all in caps. So definitely do that. Support the crew. Get some great merchandise. Without further ado, here is Hugo Savinovich, and he joins the High Spot Podcast on bodyslam.net. All right, trendsetter, great guest today. Fight Forever, a tribute to Bret the Hitman Hart, is this Saturday at the Mario Quixote Morales Coliseum in Guaynabo, Puerto Rico. For the first time in more than 10 years, WWE Hall of Famer, the excellence of execution, Bret Hart, returns to Puerto Rico, and you can see him, and the man running the event is our guest right now, Hugo Savinovich, from the WWE, from AEW, from Lucha Libre AAA. How are you doing, my man? How's everything?
Tangana! Doing fantastic. I just came back from Mexico. We did great TV last night from Juarez. It was an exciting crowd, full house, and it was awesome. So I'm back, getting ready to travel in a few hours to Puerto Rico and start a publicity for our Fight Forever show. 10 matches. Excited. You have dream matches, something that you normally will not see on a card because it involves wrestlers from different companies.
Yeah, and it's great, too, because, you know, a little bit of Impact Wrestling will be there. You can see Brian Cage will be there. Rush, the Ring of Honor World Champion, will be there. Of course, RVD. And it's all for a tribute to Bret the Hitman Hart. Talk about the event and what fans can expect.
Well, last year, my wife, God rest her soul, she passed away last week, and also my sister. We had decided that once a year, we're going to bring back to Puerto Rico huge cards because Puerto Rico at one point was one of the biggest wrestling capitals in the whole world. I mean, if you were not working back then for Vince's father or Bert Gagne or Japan, you wanted to be in Puerto Rico. We had the best talent there. And I've been very, very sad about the state of wrestling in Puerto Rico. So my wife and I decided with a Chilean wrestling company and Edwin Vasquez Ortega, the promoter, Cobra in Puerto Rico. Last year, we did the Mysterio Mania, Tributo a Mesías, and a month and a half before taking Rey Mysterio there, like I did in Chile, Vince signed him to a lot of million contracts. So I could have him, but I had one of the best cards in years in Puerto Rico. And we had a full house, and the tribute was to Ricky El Mesías Banderas. So this time, we talked it over with my wife, and we decided that Bret was the man. I mean, he is one of those true legends of our industry, and I wanted to do something big in Puerto Rico for him, and that's Fight Forever. Like you mentioned, 10 matches, including RVD, his first match ever in Puerto Rico against Mil Muertes. So we are excited. The production involves all the beautiful sound and lights and everything. So it's not like one of those we'll just get the people in and the heck with it. No, this is well produced with the big screens and videos and everything. So it's going to be awesome.
How was it like talking to Brett? What was the initial introduction in terms of saying you want to do this for Brett, and how was his reaction to it?
Yeah, I've known Brett for many years. I remember that I did 20 years as a pro wrestler, and he was my opponent in some of his first international bouts at the Huron Bittern Stadium. It was Cowboy Frankie Williams and myself against Smith Hart and Bret Hart when he was not as famous as obviously his career took him to. So, you know, I've known him for so many years. And him and Savio Vega were key factors in me finally getting to work with Vince, because at that time, Vince, the women's champion, and Hulk Hogan, when they started the Rock and Wrestling Connection and MTV and all that, it was Wendy Richter, who was my wife, managed by Cyndi Lauper. You had Hulk Hogan and all that stuff. When that was strong coming up with the WrestleManias, I was the top guy in the Caribbean, running Puerto Rico and all the other markets. So to me, it wasn't like the right time to have me working for Vince and the lady that was my wife, Wendy Richter, working for him too. Because I said to him, you know, if you get upset, you know, we lose two checks in the house. This is not a good, it's never good if you could avoid it to have two people working in the same company. You know, it's always a very political situation. So he and Savio Vega talked to Vince and said, hey, he's ready now. He's finished working with the Puerto Rican wrestling company and he's ready. He's not signing with anybody. And then we talked, and it was in my book in Spanish, A Tangana, Bring the Tentaciones, I talk about that. I thought that it was Luke Williams, one of the bushwhackers, who does great imitations. I thought he was calling me close to 5. It was like 7 o'clock in the morning. And I thought he was doing the imitation of Vince McMahon Jr. And it turned out, like after 8 minutes, that it was the real Vince McMahon talking to me. And we started talking, and that's how we got to make a business arrangement. It was a handshake. Go there for a month and see if I was happy there, and he was happy with me. And after a month, we decided that it was good. We shook hands, and I started working for him for 17 years. So Brett was part of that with Savio Vega, of letting him know that I was, you know, ready to go.
You know, of course, wrestling, and not only that, but a huge Latino representation right now in wrestling, right now in WWE, in around the world. What would you say right now in 2019? Would you say about the state of Lucha Libre in Mexico, around the world in WWE? What would you say the state of wrestling is right now in the Latino community?
Yeah, I believe with AEW shaking it up and having like the Lucha Brothers on a center stage storyline has pushed the envelope in a way that now Vince is going to have more storylines with Latinos, and which is good because you have had so many great talented guys there that have not really been involved since Alberto Del Rio in a top center storyline. I'm very happy with Rey Mysterio having this story now. He's one of the best. And I have always said that. Even when I was working there for 70 years, I was always fighting with the creative people and always telling Vince, hey, you cannot forget that we are over 46 million and another 12. Now it's like 48 million and probably another 20 million of Latinos just in the United States. And then if you consider that right next to the border, we have 200 million of Mexicans who love wrestling, and wrestling is part of their culture. And then you go with from Spain to Central America and Latin America that love wrestling. I think I always said, if you treat your Latino customers right, you're going to have a great audience, you know, backing you up. So basically, I think it's a great moment. I would love to see more main event type of storylines for the Latino guys and girls, because I think it's good for business.
Talking about good for business, though, I've always talked about this with my colleague Jeff, and I was always wondering, when you look at talent from New Japan Pro Wrestling, from Japan, from China, even from Mexico, or just as Jeff spoke about the Latino community, do you think there's that language barrier that just kind of keeps it apart? Where you know, guys like, for example, you talk about Rey Mysterio, a great champion, God rest his soul, Eddie Guerrero, they really cross the line in terms of the general audience accepting them. But when you look at guys like Andrade Cien Almas and things like that, do you think there's still a barrier there where Vince or the company still kind of hesitate when you have guys like Shinsuke Nakamura on your roster and Andrade Cien Almas to make these guys bigger stars than what they really are currently on the roster?
Well, yeah, and not only with the Latinos. You saw the whole big situation with Asuka, too, and you mentioned Nakamura. I think it's not really understanding what fans want to see, and that obviously I do believe, and I always advise the talent, Latino talent and international talent, hey, invest on your language. You got to get it going. And I remember talking to Edge and Christian and all the other guys that were young. They were not really like stars then. I said, and invest some money. Instead of giving it to Uncle Sam, invest money on taking acting lessons. I was like way ahead of all these things that are happening now. I always said, you have to prepare. So I do think that Latinos and other international stars, they cannot just wait till they get to WWE to then start doing the things that they should have done, you know, earlier. And that's my biggest fight right now. I said, dude, take your acting lessons and also your English, and not just English. I'm also saying, hey, if you already know two languages, try learning a little bit of Chinese. And obviously Japan is always going to be a good market because it just gives you an extra edge. And the biggest problem, I believe, is that the American wrestling companies do not understand the Latino. They don't know the culture. They don't know what wrestling you know, means for us. And Vince once told me, he says, he said to me, Hugo, you think that because I'm the owner, I control everything. And that was back then, because I haven't worked for them in years, 8 years, I think now. He said, you've got so many different bosses and a lot of executive people that are great, successful people in handling big movie companies and TVs, and writers have done, you know, sitcoms and, you know, Grammy winning, all this other stuff. But the basic truth is they do not understand wrestling. They don't know wrestling. They don't know the fans. They don't know what they want. So it's pretty hard to understand all these phenomena. You have like a Rusev that should be doing a better storyline than the one that they're doing right now. You got a Nakamura, you know, strong style. What an athlete. And you mentioned Andrade. He should have had the push a long time ago. And Rey Mysterio, I mean, since they brought it back, come on. I mean, this is incredible to hold back a legend like Rey Mysterio. But I'm still hoping that with AEW and hopefully the stuff that we're doing with AAA, and if we get a contract for doing TV, even if it's not as a big network, but if we have coverage in America, United States, so we could make the fans you know, take a look at us and see what we do, I think that's going to really push it to where they're going to have to say, hey, you know, guys like the Lucha Brothers, and they're causing a lot of stir around the world, and we're going to have to, you know, get our act together. And I think Tony Khan and Cody Rhodes are part of that movement, that they want to see more Latinos on top.
You know, you're talking about Phoenix and, you know, Pentagon, and they do their talking in the ring, and that's how fans relate to them, because, you know, they put on outstanding matches, and it's, I guess, the diehard wrestling fan, you know, doesn't need the backstory because they already know what they represent. And I think AEW does a great job in showcasing them, so WWE could learn a lot, because they have stars like Andrade and Humberto Carrillo. You know, they have a lot of stars there, and they definitely need to push them. You know, I'm glad I have you here, Hugo, because, you know, you have an outstanding YouTube channel. You know, I watched a lot. It's very informative. And we can't go without talking about what happened last week, and that is CM Punk kind of returning a little bit to wrestling. Do you think that he should, you know, that he kind of maybe sold out, or is it that, you know, a lot of people giving him backlash for that, or do you think it's something that was inevitable to happen?
I thought it was inedible. My wife and I, you know, I lost my wife last week and my sister. We were probably the few ones that were pushing for CM Punk. My wife, you know, would say, CM Punk on my life, you know, Facebook Live things that I do. And I just thought that it was natural. You know, when he didn't have the success that he wanted to in UFC, I thought it was a good window for him to come back and finish his story. Because I think that AJ and him, I am not going to go into the details because WWE is not paying me for the creative. But brother, if you just go back and look at the Hulk Hogan, Vince McMahon, where I got hit with a chair on WrestleMania 19 by Hogan and the whole other stuff, and how great that drew because it was a real life story translated into our world of wrestling, of Hulk Hogan against his creator, Vince McMahon. And when you do reality and mix it up with the storylines of our world, I mean, it's successful. And you have CM Punk and AJ. I mean, when you get fired on your night that you've been married, your honeymoon, brother, that is at least 2 years of solid making money, drawing, and for the company. And also for AJ and CM Punk, because you have to get her in, and because she's the loved one. CM Punk is the loved and hated guy, the controversy guy. So I've been saying this for years, and then you find out recently that it wasn't just about Pex that you know Punk did have a meeting and he was offered a lot of money, but he wasn't really, I guess, ready to go then. And I think right now the deal is direct with WWE, but it's Fox in the middle. So I think the biggest deal is yet to happen, because if you take it from the show, the backstage show that, you know, did horrible in numbers, Vince had to make a move because those numbers were, I mean, horrible. So CM Punk brings that controversy, and he's very good with the mic. Obviously, you know, he's good. And so I think that's going to be good. But I believe that where the money is the translation of him as an announcer into the back feud with the McMahons. And he will do millions of dollars. If you just let, you know, the story run its course, the real story incorporated into our business world, it would be awesome. Because I think that he still has a couple, you know, probably about 4 years more that he could actually go, because he's rested. He's been in good shape with the UFC aspirations. And of course, you know, that's what's the reality with him. No drugs, you know, straight edge, the whole thing, which is, you know, what he lives on. I think that he could do, I mean, solid storylines, at least 2 years of good storylines, and then another 2 years of just, you know, holding its own until for him it's time to go.
Yeah, you know, when he first decided to do the StarCast and do that thing for StarCast Weekend, that the interview, the one-on-one, you know, he did start mentioning that, you know, about being approached by AEW. Would he ever go back to WWE? Do you think it's right for the media, not the media backlash, but on social media for them calling him a sellout? Because a lot of people thought it was sure thing that he would go to AEW because he'd be with his friends and it'd be more comfortable. There's no issue with McMahon or Triple H. Do you think it was just a money thing? And do you think it's right for the fans to be calling him a sellout?
Well, the fans are our customers. If you are in this industry and you're not ready to take the heat, you should never be in this business. And I think CM Punk loves the controversy. You know, he loves it. I just think that, like, in our case, my wife was always shooting for him, CM Punk, to go with AEW. And I always said, it sounds great, it sounds good, but your storyline, it's already made with WWE. It wasn't, to me, it wasn't about the money, because people forget, you know, this is a straight edge, you know, wrestler that was not involved in drugs or gambling. So he's got his money well invested. You know, it's not like, man, he's begging to get a job so he could make money. He has money. And I think it was a matter of him making the right decision. And I think he's put himself in a position where if Vince wants to have him in the ring, and we're talking right now, we really don't know if this has already happened. with CM Punk, you're never going to get forward into his decisions. Even if you look back at him in the business, he will always be very reserved. And I think that this could be what WWE really needs, because, you know, they're the most powerful company. They have the money. Yet, you know, Seth Rollins is not that strong. People are falling in love with The Fiend. But, you know, they don't really have any strong storylines. They got the money. They got all the, you know, the tools, the TVs, and the number one in social media and all of that. But they need somebody like CM Punk to afford the company close to 2 years of solid houses, ratings, while they get their act together and start pushing people the right way, like they used to do before. That they have really become so modern that that with power and so much success, sometimes you get spoiled, and you know that could set you back. And I think that's what's happening. CM Punk and AJ are perfect for WWE, and you know, trust me when I say this, this guy could bring it. I mean, you have somebody that if he sets to do something, he will do it and do his best. And that's the professional that CM Punk is.
There's a question about that before. I seem to be getting from you, and what I get from Jeff sometimes too, it's not a question of if, but when it's eventually going to happen that CM Punk will return to the ring, which everybody has anticipated.
Wheels are in motion.
People have been talking about their dream, their fantasy matchups for WrestleMania, so we'll see. Time will tell on that one.
Yeah, look at this. They thought that I was crazy. They you know, they said, I don't know why you're selling to the people that CM Punk would ever be associated with WWE. I said, as I have been in the business since I was 14 years old, and I did 20 years in the ring as a wrestler, and I have been creative, and I'm of the few ones that could tell you that I have actually worked for the original NWA. I was the Spanish play-by-play for NWA back when Jim Crockett used to own NWA, and I was active when Puerto Rico had the Caribbean and all the place solid, and then I worked 17 years for Vince. So I've seen some of the best minds in this business, and I study. Even today, I keep studying. I write down information. You want to get better analyzing this, then you gotta work. You gotta work, and you gotta write down, this is what happened, where can we see this happening, and then just study what's going on, check the last decisions that a guy like Vince has made, or Dorian in AAA, or Cody Rhodes or Tony Khan since they started, and base your predictions or where you think it's going, not basically what you think, but what is it showing? You know, it's just like when you analyze finances. You know, you got to study, and that's the problem right now, that people don't want to spend time studying this. You know, I had to come last night. I was coming back from doing TV in Mexico, and I had Taya with me, and I had Conan. And brother, do I get information? Now, do I do and say that on my lives? No, unless I get the permission from them. But you learn. You know, you got, if you respect the talent and you respect the boys and the girls of the business, and they know that you could talk to them, and whatever it's good that they want to keep, you know, private, you're going to keep it private, then you could use that information to go forward and see, okay, now add this to the table and see what happens. And I think that if it hasn't happened yet, it will happen. I don't think that Fox pushed CM Punk on them. I think that when they had the horrible ratings of that show backstage, Vince knew that he cannot show weakness, and he had the money to do it. And he said way back that he already apologized to CM Punk for whatever happened in the past. And CM Punk had said that he had conversation with Vince throughout the few years. So we knew that it was a matter of just when, and that when became a reality now. Now it's when will they make a couple of big announcements. And I think that Vince will do it, because he knows Cody, Tony Khan, the Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, and, of course, Jericho. Jericho has become one of the things that is still affecting Vince, and I think that's why he signed that contract of Randy Orton right away, because Randy Orton was pushing the envelope of saying to WWE, if you don't sign me, I'm going to be a free agent, and guess what? Khan is going to give me the money. So Vince still hunted with not giving Jericho a better offer, and he's not going to make that same mistake again. I know Vince, and he's a visionary, and he is not going to make that mistake again of not giving the right talent that he wants to keep the money they need before somebody else like Tony Khan and Cody signs him up.
Well, you know what? Hindsight's 20/20, and what I got from that is basically in this industry is Jeff and I have covered it, and you've obviously had a tremendous career that you continue to still have in this industry. Never say never is very true when you talk about the world of professional wrestling.
I will give you this. In this interview, I will say something that I haven't stated. I have said to people on the actor about WWE, and I said, never say never. That's always been my MO. But I have not made a decision that I will never go back to WWE. It just has to be, my wife, before she died, she said it has to be the right decision and whatever you feel more comfortable. And it should never be just about the money. And but it's the door is open, and I haven't said no. Now I'm in love with what I'm doing with AAA, with Space TV, and the fact that I could actually, when Cody and Tony Khan meet me, I could do a Spanish pay-per-view with them. That is awesome. I have open doors to do independent shows. I have my own page. You know, we have on Facebook, Lucha Libre and I has close to 600,000 fans. Our YouTube has like 265,000, and we just started our Instagram about a year ago, and we're already 60,000. So that nobody controls. And you know what? I think that is a precious commodity, and I am not willing to give that up. I want to have the freedom to have a conversation with you guys and be wide open, not knowing that I have to get approval to do this. No, I want to be able to say what I feel and be passionate about the industry that I love and I respect.
No, and it's very understandable. That's a good reason why a lot of talent has shifted over. When AEW was first announced, the conception of it, you saw a lot of people go over, and Jericho, like you mentioned before, including him in there, made AEW more of a place to be, a more legit type of organization.
He was the guy. He was the legit guy. You had Cody, Kenny, right, Trendsetter?
Mm-hmm.
But Jericho, to me, solidified it, right, Trendsetter?
Yeah, he did.
Yeah. Not only that, but can you have a guy that just by looking at you, you want to punch him? Jericho is that type of a heel that he's a real villain. And people love to hate him. And then he started with the bubbling and Le Champion and all. He's always reinventing himself. He is so good that he gave, that like the rappers use that word street credit. If I might use that expression, I think that Jericho gave AEW that street credit, because he always was shooting with that, saying, Tony Khan and Cody Rhodes, they have to thank me because I'm the one that puts it, so he's bringing that to the table. And I think when you add that to an ex-Dean Ambrose, now John Moxley, into the picture, and you have this new stars and the betrayal of MJF, and I mean, solid stuff. I mean, it makes, when you don't know what the heck is going to happen on this show, like when Kenny Omega is willing to lose, when Cody Rhodes says, if I don't beat the champion, I will not fight him again. This is something that has hurt the business for so many years, that if people know that when you have a star, that star is going to win. That very seldom he will lose. So predictability, it's already there. With AEW, you don't know what the heck is going to happen. And to me, that is what changes the game. That's a game changer.
And that's what we fell in love with a long time ago, the unpredictability of it. When you can predict things to happen and become so plain and obvious, you start losing that allure, that magic behind it. But let's be honest here. Hindsight's 20/20, right? Granted, WWE didn't match the offer that Tony Khan gave to Jericho because, in my opinion, WWE didn't value basically what Jericho still had left to offer within it. Jericho even said it himself too. He's like, if I went back to WWE, I was basically going to be doing the same thing. He was going to know where he was going to be. He goes back to talking about the Kevin Owens feud and how he was second on the card at WrestleMania. He said, this is probably the best I can do here in WWE. Hindsight 2020, though, with this type of Chris Jericho that we're seeing, what he's done in New Japan now, what he's done reinventing himself, he's done always amazing jobs of reinventing himself, there's no way this Chris Jericho could ever work in WWE. This version of Chris Jericho.
Yes, and my whole point is that they thought that, speaking about Vince and Triple H, they thought that NXT was very strong. And I kept saying, I studied the numbers. It's only those big events where you have, you know, a big event of WWE and then you have the takeovers that are successful. But there were shows, independent shows, that the Young Bucks beat NXT, drawing in places. I have drawn more in my shows than some of the NXT shows. People only see like the takeovers. But I said, this is not good. They've been there for a while, and sometimes they only draw like 1,000, 1,200 people. I said, this is not good. Sometimes 700. And I said, this is not good. That was before AEW even started. I've been saying that for a long time. And when AEW came and they went Wednesday Night Wars, I was one of the few ones that dared to say, I don't think that NXT is going to beat him. And they said, oh, you're just doing that because you don't have a contract with Vince and you're upset. So now you do this because you're a disgruntled ex-employee or whatever. And I said, no, this has all to do with the perception of one company thinking that they are that strong. That means WWE, Triple H, and Vince. And me just analyzing what AEW was going to bring down to the wrestling game. And I said, there's no way. And also, the small arena, and I mean, you cannot match that what brings, you know, Dynamite show every Wednesday night with this big arena, the power and everything. And then you go into this little university, Cell University, you know, little arena that worked when there was nobody around to compete. But I mean, it's a whole different ball game. And, you know, Tony Khan is forcing Triple H probably by January to start doing, you know, bigger arenas, not like huge, but bigger than now, to be able to compete, you know, with the product that AEW is bringing.
Yeah, the whole NXT side, now that they're going to be part of the Survivor Series, it's going to be Raw, SmackDown, and NXT. Do you think part of it is not only to get NXT more exposure to the Raw and SmackDown audience? Do you think that it also is just the whole invasion angle? Do you think that it's well thought out and well planned so far?
No, it's desperate. And you know, the funny part is the fans know it, because as you and I do things every week, that we get fans to give us the feedback immediately. I hear from people over the world, and they said this is just a desperation move because it was done so poorly that, and then they started putting the guys over, beating guys like Daniel Bryan on the big, you know, shows. It didn't make any sense, but they wanted to see if that could draw more respect to the brand of NXT and draw bigger numbers. And I was just saying, you know, if they would have done that way back, it would have meant something. But they did not use they're bigger than the NFL with audience support on their networks, on Facebook and all of this stuff. Yet they never did anything to promote the brand. They were just happy with the with the takeovers. And when the owner makes a statement that he was not watching the product, only the takeovers, what does that tell you? I mean, Vince said that. This is not Hugo saying something. This is Vince saying that, and Triple H said that. So they just thought that they were so strong that they could compete. They were not counting on a family that has more money than them, because I think the Khan family has like over $8 billion, and they study. Marketing is one of the key aspects of their success. These are people that know marketing, that big companies pay them so they could help them get the product over. I mean, this is huge stuff. And if you really pay attention and study, there was an interview done to Tony Khan's father. And he said something that I'll break it down in two parts really fast. They asked the guy, the commissioner of NFL, how much of the globe market does he believe that NFL had? And he said, if I'm not mistaken, like 20%. And this is one of the biggest marketing sports franchises, or whatever you call it, that has so much success. Yet he said globally only about 20%, which showed me immediately that even if we think that we're so successful with wrestling, we haven't even gotten closer to that. Khan said that his biggest war is not beating Vince. It's constructing the fan base and the new fans that could come back, and that they could be, again, when Vince started the Attitude Era, You have every week like 10 million viewers in the States ready to back this phenomenon of Attitude Era. The Khan family, they want to build this new audience, take the independent, culture support of the Young Bucks and all of that, and the Jericho fans and the Cody Rhodes fans and all this stuff, and fans from like Dex, Dean Ambrose, and Moxley. And how they're going to do it is building a new fan base. In order to be successful, you have to get over the numbers that they're doing. They're not even doing 1 million viewers every week. In order for AEW to be successful, they have to go over 2 million every week, because that would mean that they have gotten back 1 million of lost fans. The key success would be to get back what Tony Khan's father said, to bring back the 10 million viewers weekly that were available back then. They have been disappointed with the wrestling industry, mainly with the top company, WWE. And let's face it, Dixie Carter and TNA, they did not do a good job. And, you know that's the truth. And so there were a lot of people that were disappointed, and they left the wrestling scene. And now the Khan family and Cody and the Young Bucks and Jericho and Kenny Omega, they want to bring him back, but not just bring those back. They want to construct new fan base. And that is basically what I have been doing without the big money they have, on what I do on South America, what I do, like on the show I'm doing this Saturday, what I've been doing with AAA. It's how can we tell the fans, and people don't like it. I've been saying in Spanish, la buena lucha ha regresado. And people say, no, you cannot say that, because I'm saying in Spanish, the good wrestling has come back. So you are saying that you didn't have that in AAA? Well, if you want to be honest, then you're going to get the fans' response that we're building storylines and we're doing good. Don't treat fans like your five-year-old attitude fans that now they got kids and stuff. And they want to be respected. And I think that's going to be the success of WWE, AEW, and I'm still predicting that there will be another billionaire joining this group, because money attracts investors. And I have been saying this not 2 or 3 months. I've been saying this for a long time. I believe that there will be another billionaire. I don't know if it's, what's his name, the guy that owns the Dallas Mavericks.
Mark Cuban. Yeah.
I don't know if it's him. I don't know if it's already a company like Disney or somebody that says, if we own this, then we will own the rights to characters and programming and all that. This is not to be a rocket scientist. This is numbers and money. So there's money, but you have to construct a bigger fan base. That's it.
No, I completely agree with you there in terms of creating a new fan base, not only bringing back the old ones, but creating a new audience for yourself. The only way to kind of continue and prolong your life, especially if we're talking specifically about AEW and their success, though. I wanted to ask you one more thing in terms of AEW, just this whole new era of wrestling you talked about. The good wrestling's back. I really feel more than ever, not just with AEW, talk about, all the other promotions out there, and I don't mention them right now because I know if I do, I'll miss one and then I'll feel bad about myself, but we all know who's out there in terms of promotions all around the world. But it seems like there's so much more variety now than there's ever been before. So when we look at Wednesdays now, when Jeff and I joke about it, and a lot of people are talking about it's the Wednesday Night Wars, yeah, similar to the Monday Night Wars, is this really a war? Is it really something more? Because in my perspective, it really feels more of, this is AEW, they're pitting themselves against WWE, of course, but at the same time, it really feels from my perspective, the AEW is really trying to just create their own identity, and really feel from what we've seen before, and Jeff's talking about the Survivor Series, NXT Invasion, and all these things, it really seems that at WWE, for the first time ever that I could ever remember since the whole WCW Monday Night Wars, is reacting to what AEW is doing. Would I be fair in making that assessment?
You are 100% correct. Cody and Jericho has been bold, making statements that he's been putting down, I mean, openly putting down the product or the classification of NXT. He just said he knew that they were going to beat him. Basically, from conversations that I've had with Tony Khan and with Cody, even though they might paint that picture of competing or whatever, they're not really competing. They are building their own brand. It is WWE that is reacting, because this they never saw this happening. They are embarrassed. They don't know what the heck to do with this reality of getting whipped every week because they say they're better than AEW, yet the numbers are not showing that. And I just did a report on Fox not being happy with the numbers on their primetime Friday shows of SmackDown. They are not clicking to giving the fans a reason why we should watch the show. Fans tell me, and not just Spanish, but I have Americans, I have Japanese fans. I've been in this industry so long that I know like so many people, and I get feedback. What you're just telling me, I'm listening, that's already in my mind, because I love to hear people that are passionate about the industry so I could get a bigger picture of what the heck is going on. Because I just see that even though I sell it, like Wednesday Night Wars to do the report, and, you know, we got to do that because that's what fans love it. The reality is AEW coming in and just kicking some butt and knowing that they have to construct their brand and that they have had a good showing, not a excellent showing, to be honest, because the numbers should be higher. But I think that they know, and they're going to keep on growing. Now, the question is, if they are willing to do the right thing, my question is Vince and Triple H, are they ready to admit that it's time to do some changes and be passionate and give the fans what they want to see, which they did promise, and they haven't delivered, because we know that Vince, Shane, Stephanie and Triple H, they admit it, and they promised the fans, mm-hmm, their WWE Universe, that they were going to get it together. Now, let's be honest, have they done that? I don't think they have been successful.
Not even close.
And I think fans are waiting for it. And you know what really gets me upset? It's to know that they could do it. And they're so much into politics.
Oh, what gets politics. Hugo, what gets me so upset is you look at the rosters on SmackDown, Raw, and NXT. You have so much talent. And you have a three-hour show on Raw, a two-hour show obviously on SmackDown. You have NXT. There is no reason. Of course, you can use everybody, but you have so much talent. It's amazing how a lot of it gets underutilized.
Yes. And if we're going to go even deeper, now that I've gotten myself into a situation where I said stuff that I haven't said it even on my own shows, if you happen to have a Bruce Pritchard, a Paul Heyman, and even though we don't talk about this name, he is there, Mr. I call him Doble Duro, Jeff Jarrett. I mean, you got people there that if they are trusted with having bigger power, these guys could seriously change what the heck is going on right now. But they have to, you know, you could be the best, but if they don't let you do it, then I don't care who is the director of Raw and who is this of SmackDown. If you are not willing to let go.
I mean, Hugo, let's be honest. Vince was... he trusts Bruce Pritchard. He has he's worked with Paul Heyman. And Eric Bischoff, He just didn't have that trust, I think, because we learned that he really didn't have full reins of SmackDown or even have a chance to run a whole show without help or without Vince nixing things. You've had SmackDown, the only, to me, since it's been on Fox, has had two good shows. The opening one where you saw Cain Velasquez and you had Tyson Fury and they put out all the stops, right? And then the other show was When everyone was stuck in Saudi Arabia and you had Adam Cole, baby, against Daniel Bryan. And after that, that's it. How can WWE be a network show on Fox and have a brand split, and you don't have a Seth Rollins, and you don't have the man Becky Lynch? They're not there. To me, it should be all hands on deck for SmackDown on Fox, and yet, to me, I think Vince puts out that stupid thing where they make fun of Roman Reigns, and you get a guy dressed as Roman Reigns in a dog suit, whatever, because Vince has that sophomore, you know, humor that's like, ha ha, that's funny, pal. Like, when is Vince going to realize that it should be all hands on deck on SmackDown?
Yes, and I believe that the Fox Network people, you know, are wondering, you know, hey, we have given them a lot of money for 5 years, and they have not reached the rating point where that was part of the deal. And the network is going to be very upset, and it might even change. If they don't draw better numbers, they're going to cut their losses. I'm not saying that they're going to end up with a contract, because they know that sooner or later Vince is going to get it. The problem is with networks, they don't have the patience, because every week in ratings, you know, they have to make their money, because they invested a lot of money on WWE, on SmackDown. And I think the same guy that reinvented himself to become Mr. McMahon, he's going to have to reinvent himself, and I'm talking about quickly right now. Mm-hmm. And when he signed Randy Orton, that was a big commitment. And when I believe that he did approve that CM Punk coming back, even though it's like to the front of Fox Network, I think right now as we're talking, and I don't know, he might already done the deal with CM Punk. And I believe that he is the guy that could put that show making the ratings, making money, and getting people right back into the arena. The house attendance on shows has been really bad, really, really bad. And we have so many talent guys and girls that are sitting every week right there. You got stuff that if it's followed the correct way, will draw the attention of the crowd. I'll mention a name, Matt Hardy. And we know that Jeff is going through some health issues and other some legal problems, but there's nothing that draws people's attention. I go back into when you mix real life story with storylines well thought and with respectful vision, so that people don't get offended of getting some stuff. If you think that you do something about making fun of Roman Reigns, okay, you might get a laugh because you own it, but is that going to do you any good, you know, with ratings? I don't think so.
Oh. No, I don't think so. I think the biggest thing that Jeff and I see from a week-to-week basis is clearly the talent pool within WWE. If you compare it to AEW, as much as AEW's roster is very good, I do like it. It's nothing in comparison to the talent that's in there with WWE.
That's right.
And the lack of utilization of the talent, considering that, yes, I am not going to stand here and say that it's easy to run a 3-hour show or a 2-hour show and produce it. By all means,
yeah,
God bless
difficult.
People that do it. Very difficult. But there has to be some
very
point
difficult.
In that process, say, all right, this isn't working. We've been doing this for how long now? This isn't working.
Uh-huh.
Maybe we need to change things around. And ultimately, it always seems, with the conversations Jeff and I have had with talent before, or with promoters, or people who are just generally huge fans of professional wrestling, it always falls back to the same dynamic. It all goes through one person.
Yeah.
It all goes through Vince McMahon. And the point where people are debating,
yeah.
Oh, has he kind of lost his touch on what's going on? Jeff was just talking about the Darth Mordic humor. That's funny for giggles here and there, but do you feel Vince has it within him to reinvent himself again? Because
yes.
probably know more from experience
yes.
than we do, but Vince can be very stubborn and set in his way sometimes, so it takes a lot for him to change.
That, the problem is that when you are surrounded by big executives, you know, the suits, and these executives they hold enough power to stop any new creations and ideas because they were very successful in running Hollywood studios, this and that. I honestly believe that if you really want to cause the impact, you have to go, which we said before, the CM Punk storyline, do something very controversial, but not stupid like the storyline of Rusev, Lana, and Lashley. With somebody like Paige that could create controversy, not wrestling, but yes, managing the right people. I think she's got the sex appeal. And also, I'm giving this one for free because they're not paying me for the creative part. But if there is a star that could draw your numbers, yet he only has probably 2 matches if he is to come back, why wouldn't you use one of them to draw SmackDown ratings and then do the other one with a WrestleMania, and I'm speaking about Edge, and you could add into that next Sheamus, people that are respected, and create something, and then I'm going to shut up because I'm going to give it to them. Cesaro.
Oh, man.
He is one of the loved wrestlers that people are frustrated. What about if we do something like what CM Punk did with the mic, and in this case, not long, because Cesaro don't have that, what CM Punk has, all that ability in the mic, but something short and something creative when he is just tired of having been neglected, and then you bring somebody into the picture, and I'm going to say who, but this happens in a show like SmackDown that has been lacking stuff that you might want to spend Friday night watching wrestling, and people are turning into college football and other things. Because I get this report from fans.
Mm-hmm.
They said I could be away from Raw and SmackDown for a month and a half and tune back in, and I haven't missed anything. That is now, coming from fans.
You know,
no
offense to Shorty G or Mustafa Ali. I think they're great, and they should be pushed, and I'm glad that they're involved in the Survivor Series matchup. But how does Cesaro not be on Team SmackDown? Like, that to me is,
well, Cesaro's been one of the most respected and most loved people in the locker room. The mere fact that he still hasn't been given, in my opinion, and again, it's my opinion only, a fair opportunity to kind of run with the ball and see if he can actually score with it instead of kind of holding him back is very frustrating as a fan.
Who do they call to take on Mansoor at Crown Jewel? Cesaro. Why? Because he can make a good match with the broom. Let's be honest, right?
Yes. Yeah, and he made him look like
$1 million.
Superstar. Huh? Yes, Cesaro. Now, we were just, you know, and I cannot elaborate that much because this is where I make my money on consulting and stuff like that, that people will never hear the whole story, that, you know, companies in private pay me to do things like this. But it's basically you become so successful and you got so much money and you got over 200 stars that are signed, and some of them you don't even see on a TV show. And I agree with you guys 100% on the roster that WWE has. There's nobody that comes close to that without disrespecting any company, including the one I work for or the one that I'm in alliance with AEW. And yet, they are not even going to a 40% level of creating the ambience for this talented people to showcase what they can do. And it's sad. It's very sad. But I am a guy that believes that Vince will reinvent himself, and AEW and Jericho and all my friends, Young Bucks and Tony and Cody, they better not feel too comfortable with every week winning NXT, because NXT is not WWE, it is part of it. But I believe that when Vince is competing and he feels that there's jeopardy, that's when this guy because he is so good. Now, you have to understand, that's what I say, I study this, that he's been going through the process of creating XFL. And I say creating because I don't think this is the same XFL that we saw before. It's that partnership with NBC that was, they lost over $100 million and whatever. I think that we're also going to be shocked to find out that there's a bigger plan with that. And that will happen, but that involves a lot of time, Vince. And I don't care how genius you are, how great you are. Trust me, this world of WWE, it is so complicated. Too many live hours, so many people investing in your company. That when he came back from the Middle East without that contract, TV contract, he lost close to $200 million in a few hours on the stocks, or even more. I remember the figure, but I study this, and I think that he will surprise people again. And I'm hoping that wrestling keeps getting strong, because I got friends in every company, and they have kids, and they have dreams, and I want wrestling in general. I want every company to do good, but especially the ones that are on top. If they don't do the right thing, what can we expect from others?
Yeah.
No, very, very true. And I'll just leave it at this real quick, and then I'll leave Jeff because I know he wants to ask you a question. But to me, what you know, and I'll give this away for free. If people want to copy, go to copy it, because I really think this is the way it is. Because it was not too long ago. It seems not too long ago that John Moxley did Chris Jericho's podcast, right? And he described specifically every single step it took through creative. The process of when it went through to get a promo approved, get this approved, get that approved, and all the writers and things like that. I just look back at the Attitude Era, right? And again, maybe it's me dating myself, and I'm one of those people now where I was like, oh, it's so much better back in my day type of scenario. But I always felt that superstars and talent shined more when they were given an outline of what they were supposed to say, and you go out there and you try it. Because either you're either going to sink or swim, and with that type of motivation behind you, it's going to either be amazing or be terrible, but at least you know where you stand.
Yeah, look what Moxley and Jericho are doing in AEW. They're just shooting from the hip, and they're just keeping it.
Chris Jericho said it better himself, too, right? Nobody's going to know what Chris Jericho is going to say better than Chris Jericho. You can help guide him in terms of what message you want to get across, but you have to give talent some type of confidence or a vote of confidence. All right, go out there and deliver your message. You know, if you fail, you fail, and we'll try it again next time. But you know what? You have to go out there because it seems really scripted and very unauthentic when people go out there and start doing their promos.
You take away the passion from your talent. When a writer becomes that talent, it's no longer what people are going to fall in love with because they're not being real to their character because the people that are writing don't understand it. So if you give them what to say from the beginning to the end, you have taken away their passion. It's horrible.
Yeah, Hugo, I mean, thank you for your time, man. I'm going to throw you some rapid-fire questions here because time is short and we want to get you on a plane to Puerto Rico. So,
otherwise, we'd be talking hours and hours with you about wrestling.
It just sounds like three people.
Which isn't a bad thing, too. Yeah, I love talking about wrestling.
It sounds like three people just who love wrestling and they're just talking about it and just shooting the breeze. And, the only difference is that we're just rolling here in audio. But, Hugo, so Cain Velasquez, he looked like he grasped the Lucha Libre style well, and surprisingly signed with WWE, not AEW. A lot of people thought he'd have a chance to sign with AEW. He did talk about that as well. But you think it was too much money to pass up, and do you think he made a good... Well, I mean, 10 seconds against Brock Lesnar is, whatever, but do you think he will do well in WWE?
Yeah, first he has to deal with... The reason why the match was so short with Brock is that Cain is still having problems with the knee, and so he has to get taking care of that. But money-wise, I think that was a big factor. But also the opportunity of doing things that at that moment, AAA did not have the sufficient money to keep him, for just their shows. And also the fact that when Triple H and Vince, they saw the footage of the Triple Mania show, and they got the report from the follow-up in the Hulu Theater in New York. People like he is. I have stated this before. I'll say it again. He is like a Rey Mysterio. They're real. They're hardworking people. They're successful, yet they're so humble, and people love that. And when they saw him, Cain Velasquez, doing the inverted lucha scissors and all this other stuff, and stay away from what normally you would see a UFC fighter or a martial arts combat fighter, and he gave in to the desires of other people of saying, hey, you just shoot and just take him down. No, he became what he dreamed to do because he told me I did almost a whole week of pushing for the show in New York, and I sat down and talked to him and beautiful people. He has loved wrestling from a young age. And if you notice, he came in with a mask, with a luchador mask to Triple Mania. And that is what has been inside his heart. And when he had that opportunity, he trained, he's still training, and he's going to get better. And he's a true athlete. And the guy respects our business. His wife, which is a beautiful person, and his kids, they love to see their father doing what he does. And he was part of Triple Mania, not just on the show. He did all the publicity with us. And he did that Peregrinaje is in Spanish. Peregrinage, what they do with the Virgin of Guadalupe, which is the in Mexico, that's like the you know, what they believe in, the Virgin mm-hmm. of Guadalupe. And he, Cain Velasquez, went with us. And this is like thousands of people at different points meeting the wrestlers. And then the last 8 blocks, you walk into the Cathedral of the Virgen de Guadalupe. And I saw his passion then. And I told Dorian and I told Conan, I said, this guy is for real. This guy is for real. And I said, you know, I said that a few times. One of them was with Dwayne Johnson before he was famous. In Stamford, Connecticut, I saw him. He was shopping at one of the supermarkets. I happened to see him there. He was not yet The Rock. And I saw something incredible with him. Like I saw with Cain Velasquez, the passion and everything. I saw Dwayne Johnson walking through the aisles of the supermarket. And you know how guys, if we are honest, we have sometimes we see like a beautiful girl and for no reason we just like go the same area that the girl is, just so you could see more of the beauty. And I saw girls after girls that were following this beautiful guy. He was wearing like white Bermuda shorts with a flower Hawaiian shirt. And the girls were following him. And he was not famous yet. And
I know that feeling.
I knew then that he was going to be huge. And with Cain Velasquez, I have that same feeling that if it's taken care of the right way, if it's pushed the right way, and if they leave him to be what he is, a warrior, and don't put him with too many stories talking on the mic, just let him be Cain Velasquez, he will be huge.
Wow. And two more, and then we'll let you go, Hugo. You said you're on the on a plane with Conan and Taya, and you're making small talk, and there's a lot of rumors of John Morrison signing with WWE. Do you think it's when, not if, for John Morrison?
The problem that I have is that I know exactly what is going on.
Okay.
So when that happens, I cannot talk about it.
Gotcha.
Because of the fact that you don't want to hurt. And to me, it's like, I don't brag on having exclusive things. Mm-hmm. I just love for things to do happen.
Play themselves out.
I love Johnny. I love Taya. I'm so happy to see them. They are so happy together that whatever is going to happen is going to happen soon. And mm-hmm. I cannot talk about it anymore about that.
But sooner than later, though.
Yes. Okay. But I must tell you that there's good things that are going to happen, and whoever has him, it's going to have a beautiful guy that has mature, that has become better than he was before, and that he's in love. He loves Taya, and even Taya, if you see Taya, she's taking her game to another level. Something happens when you find the right partnership, the right husband, the right wife that has helped the two of them become even better in what they do, and whoever signs them or whoever has already signed them is going to have a precious commodity named whatever he's going to be named, because obviously the Mundo belongs to somebody. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Nitro, if it happens to be Vince, Nitro belongs to him.
Mm-hmm.
So any creative part, that's part of the game. And if it's AEW, so I could run all the bases here. you have the image. You have the image of a guy that people love and they've been wanting to see back. And whatever you have seen of him, people are hungry for bigger things of him. And the guy is in great shape. And I could give away this part. Taya told me, and I hope she doesn't get upset. Taya says, as the wife, she doesn't want to hear Johnny talk about more wrestling, because the two of them are wrestlers, and he's so passionate that she wants to talk more about, you know, what are we going to do for the kitchen and this or the new house. But this is how much passion this guy has, and I think that he's a beautiful guy, beautiful person. Girls love him. He's not a troublemaker. I mean, everybody likes Johnny. Mm-hmm. It is difficult not to like him. Because he is honest, he's passionate about what he does, and he doesn't care if you make millions of dollars. If he says he's your friend with millions or without millions. That's Johnny Mundo or Johnny Nitro.
Or Johnny Dynamite sounds pretty
or
nice.
If he's in WWE, yeah, I would call him Johnny Dynamite.
Johnny
just
Dynamite.
Just to stick it to Dynamite. And if I'm going in Dynamite, I'll be Johnny Dynamite. So
something will happen soon.
Hugo, last one for me, and again, you're probably the best guest we've ever had, and that's awesome because you're killing it right now. Crown Jewel, everyone, can you believe that everyone still has their conspiracy theories with Crown Jewel? I mean, we talked a little bit about Cain Velasquez and his match with Brock, but like, I know you've had some things to say about it too that just wasn't mechanical issues. But just to put a wrap on this one, isn't this one of the most bizarre stories of 2019?
Yeah, because you could no longer control people.
Mm-hmm.
And you had the wife of a wrestler making a statement out there in her site, and you had guys standing in front of the airplane saying things. And sooner or later, you're going to find out even more. But as far as I go, I make sure that what I said was said after the plane had left the area. But I had more knowledge about that. And, it was something serious. And now it's so complicated. And a lot of people's jobs are, on the lines that I decided not to make any more comments. And I just, whatever I said because
you stick to
I
it.
Don't want,
but you stick.
I don't want this to happen to anybody.
You stick to everything you said. Everything that before you stopped, talking about it, which again is your problem. But you stand by it.
I would say this: an official with a lot of credibility of WWE told me this, and also a friend of mine, and I'll even say a little bit more that it's a big shot there in Saudi Arabia that I've known for years as for many years from working out of Puerto Rico, when they had the VHS in places like Iran, Iraq, and other places where a lot of the wrestling was prohibited, especially if you had a Jewish wrestler involved or a girl wrestler involved, on the black market, on my English and Spanish VHS that were not like the best quality production, but I had like Rip Rogers or Hackman Bobby Jaggers or Eric Embry doing English commentating. They were huge in the black market of these countries where a lot of this stuff was prohibited. And I've always been a person that you could trust. Mm-hmm. And that if I say you're my friend, a big shot from there directly told me. And at the moment they were very concerned and I did not say anything till the plane had left. Mm-hmm. And I say this with all the respect. I did not do this to get hits or to get likes, because I will never do anything for that purpose. I was just very concerned. So whatever happens in the future, I just hope that for them, for any other company, that this will not happen again, because these guys and girls, they have families and everything, and I just want to make sure that our talent around the world are safe. I run shows and I do not leave that country till the last talent leaves, and then I leave the next day. So that's been my philosophy, and I stick to that. You like a captain of a ship, you don't abandon your ship till whatever happens happens. And that was it. That was my whole purpose. And I guess sometime in the future, from the boys, you will hear whatever happened. But this was an official that told me this, and one person from Saudi Arabia that told me that. And I made that statement. If you look at when I made the first statement, it was when everybody was already out of the country.
Hugo Savinovich presents the biggest event of 2019, Fight Forever, tribute to Bret the Hitman Hart on Saturday, November 23rd at the Mario Quixote Morales Coliseum in Guaynabo, Puerto Rico. For the first time in more than 10 years, the WWE Hall of Famer, the excellence of execution, Bret Hart, returns to Puerto Rico, and you can meet him in person. A great event. Mil Muertas against Rob Van Dam in his first matchup in Puerto Rico. You're going to have Rush will be there, Mecha Wolf 450, Mr. Kennedy, Brian Cage, Killer Cross, Camille Brickhouse. I might just go that. I might just go to Puerto Rico just to see Camille. And so many other stars. Hugo, thank you so much for giving us a few minutes here on the show.
Yes, and to all your listeners, whatever company you love, be a fan, go to their house shows, support it, buy the T-shirts. If you are a true fan, you have to root for the company that you love. And remember that any company that we're talking about has guys and girls that have families, have dreams, have bills to pay. And if you love this business, you have to support it. And God bless you in Jesus' name.
All right. Our thanks goes out to Hugo Savinovich. Great stuff, man. He sticks by what he said about Crown Jewel. You heard his thoughts on Chris Jericho. Vince McMahon's biggest mistake of 2019, not re-signing Chris Jericho. Me and the Chancellor believe that. And then, of course, the whole CM Punk stuff. Great stuff by Hugo. I think when he was working with Carlos Cabrera, back in Spanish commentary for WWE, I called him the Spanish John Madden and Pat Summerall. And great stuff, and hope to have him back on the show again. Of course, his show is this Saturday in Puerto Rico, a tribute to Bret Hart, and so many superstars will be there. Definitely check it out if you can. And also, guys, we just want you to have a great Thanksgiving here on behalf of the show, High Spot Podcast, the crew. Enjoy it. Be safe. If you're going to go out shopping Black Friday, go to collarandelbowbrand.com and buy some shirts. Go to prowrestlingtees.com because you'll get some great offers there. Up to 40% off on so many great things. It is the 10 days of Black Friday on prowrestlingtees.com. Go to prowrestlingtees.com/highspotpodcast. Buy a shirt, support the crew. So many great things going on. I want to thank the Shining Wizards and congratulate them on 8 years of being a podcast. They had a great, great show in Hackensack this past week. So I want to congratulate the Shining Wizards and you, the crew, guys. Be safe. Have a happy Thanksgiving. And we'll see you next week with a Survivor Series and TakeOver recap here on HSP on BodySlam.net. And remember one thing, guys. We do it for you, the crew.